order of service is in the bulletin. Your response to the commandments is in the bulletin also. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. Amen.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and mother.
Amen. Amen.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Jesus said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us now confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, "Mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them. For you are not sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. not to many people of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I sent you to them, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. See, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads, like the hardest stone, harder than flint. I have made your forehead. Do not fear them or be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. He said to Ezekiel, "Mortal, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Then go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them. Say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear." The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 130 in unison. Out of the depths I have called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him, and his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. those who believe in me, even though they die in their will. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Will you believe this? He said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, he went back and called her sister Mary and told her, the teacher is here, and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consulted her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to be too weak there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also. He was greatly disturbed in spirit. He said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. The Son of God said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man and kept his man alive? Then Jesus began greatly disturbed and there was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked over and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always heard me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they might believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I learned early about the emotions expressed at cemeteries by watching family and friends. 3 generations were standing together when my grandmother discovered our family plot at Evergreen Cemetery nearby had an interloper. It seems my hard-headed great uncle Ralph had arranged for Cora Crane to be laid to rest beside him. And it had gone unnoticed until that moment. My grandmother gasped, her cheeks went white, then scarlet. She leaned for support on the nearest tombstone, and I heard her murmur to my mother, "No wonder he was always late for dinner." It was well known that Cora Crane was the town madam. I wept over my father's grave reading the order for burial nearly 50 years after the fact. When they told me he had died, I put my hands over my ears. I would hear none of it. I denied it with my whole 10-year-old heart. I would not go to the cemetery. I had watched people. I did not want a part of it because doing so for me would then mean that he was truly dead. On a recent Sunday, Arthur and I, with our grandchildren, were leaving St. Michael's in Charleston. And as you walk out of the church cemetery is right there. And I pointed and commented that some of our family tombstones were right over there. Well, our 6-year-old grandson, Brian, immediately fell to his knees in front of the headstone I'd pointed to and began digging with his hands. My husband said, "Brian, what on earth are you doing? Stop it now." But Brian answered in earnest, "But Granddaddy, I want to see them. I want to meet them." He continued to insist, and Arthur continued to insist that he listen. And he began a lecture on the spirit and the soul, which was really deep and long. And when Arthur finished, Brian threw up his hands and said, "But Granddaddy, where are they?" Well, finally I said, "They are with Jesus in heaven." Thankfully, Brian's older brother said, "Yeah, everyone knows that." And Brian was satisfied. You may have visited the catacombs, the ancient catacombs that are below St. Clement's in Rome. If you walk down some stone steps, you are in near darkness, and your eyes have to adjust to the dimness that's in front of you. And if you look carefully, you can just see a painted image of a man, something painted by the early Christians, and that man is painted on the wall of the catacombs, and that man points to a tomb and a mummy-wrapped figure. This mummy man is returning from the realm of the dead into the light of the world, to the world of the living, and he is Lazarus of Bethany from John's gospel. John's wonderfully spiritual gospel is power-packed, and it begins with that magnificent prologue, and it records 8 miracles and 8 signs and 7 I ams, and I think probably uses the word believe more than 100 times. But it's this gospel alone that gives us the story of Jesus's dear friend Lazarus, who has died an untimely death. Jesus had gone to the Feast of the Dedication, and it was there outside of the temple on Solomon's porch that he had a confrontation, a fierce verbal exchange with the priest. And Jesus barely managed to escape without being stoned, so he left town in a hurry with his disciples, and he crossed the Jordan River to find a safer and quieter place. While he was there, he received a message which was sent by Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and it only said, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." There was nothing that indicated an emergency. There was no red alert. But Jesus turned to his disciples and explained that Lazarus had died. And with that he said, "We will go so that you might believe." Shock. Shock appeared on the faces of the disciples because going to Bethany, which was on the doorstep of Jerusalem, meant returning to enemy territory. The posse was properly out. Wanted posters had surely been tacked up everywhere, expressing the irritation of the Judean authorities, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans, all of whom who had decided that Jesus had upset the status quo and really needed to go. It took a moment, but Thomas the twin was the most courageous, and he sliced through the silence, and he said, "We will go with you, and we will die with you." It was that serious. So 4 days and about 30 miles later, after Lazarus' death, Jesus and the disciples reached the edge of Bethany. Meeting Jesus, Martha immediately accused him of fatal lateness. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Then pressing him, she insisted, "I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus answered, "Your brother will rise again." Martha's exasperated reply was sort of a rote recitation of shadowy Jewish doctrine. And she said, "Yes, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Her words were like Mary's, and they were wrapped in unequal measures of confusion and doubt and faith. But eye to eye with Martha, Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." Well, in keeping with Hebrew custom, mourners had gathered at Lazarus' house. Some had soot on their cheeks, others had strips of black cloth trailing down from their outer garments to signify their broken hearts. There were professional mourners, there were wailing women, there were flute players. As a prompt burial was always assured for anyone who died. Then the community would watch over the tomb for the 3 days it took for the soul to refresh itself in preparation for an actual meeting with God. It was being prepared to be in God's presence, and that was the Jewish belief of that time. Jesus took one look at the dismal group, and in utter frustration, he began to weep bitter tears of anger. They had listened to his teachings. They had nodded. They had agreed and absorbed his words. And now their grief signified overwhelming doubt. It was a tacit denial of the resurrection and the scriptures. At the tomb, there was a little encounter, and Jesus overruled Martha, and he ordered the stone sealing it removed. He prayed, and then he shouted, "Come out." Blinking, Lazarus stumbled forth from dark to light. The strips of cloth that bound him were unwound, and then he moved freely toward the stunned group, whose wide open mouths betrayed their astonishment. Theologian John Phillips says this. He says, "Nowhere is Christ's deity more in evidence, and nowhere is his humanity more evident, because by calling Lazarus out of the tomb, Jesus enters it." Well, if you were making a Hollywood horror movie, this would have to be the moment when the monster emerged, his arms raised in zombie-like fashion while eerie music played. But this was no horror movie. This was real. It was a miracle that proved in finality that there is rescue, there is resurrection. In Oscar Wilde's play, Salome, he tells the story of the wicked King Herod Antipas. And Herod is quizzing a messenger who has just reported that he's learned Jesus is healing and raising people from the dead. Herod's eyebrows shoot up, and he says, "Raising people from the dead? I do not wish him to do that. I forbid that. I suffer no man to raise the dead. This man must be found and told that I forbid him to raise the dead. I will not allow it." Herod knew that death was the last weapon that he possessed. By nature, when we are all confronted by death, we are very much like Martha and Mary and the whole crowd. Our emotions will be what they will be. But we must remember this. We must remember that by rolling back the stone, Jesus gave us the victory over death and the grave. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Our response can only echo Martha's. "Yes, Lord, we believe. We believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Amen.
Let us rise and profess our faith to one another in the words of the Nicene Creed. "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world."
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord, for all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Good Lord, for peace throughout the world, especially in the Ukraine, and that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord, for this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord, for the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord, for those who have died, we remember especially Father George Young, Jr. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died. Good Lord, for our journey through this season of Lent, that we may have the strength to practice the disciplines we have adopted. Good Lord, we thank you for this time to worship, for those we love, for all good gifts that have been given us, and for every breath that we take. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Good Lord.
Yes. Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Ashley Petty, our faithful assistant here in working with young people and really giving a lot of good ministry to the church, will make the announcements because that is the work of this church.
Good morning. Do we have any visitors? We ask that you raise your hand and ushers will bring you a goodie bag. I don't see anybody raising their hand though. Well, we welcome, oh, we have one right up here. Keep your hand raised until they bring you a bag. Well, we welcome everybody this morning. As you can see, Dean Kate is gone this morning. She is in Richmond, Virginia, preaching, leading workshops, and promoting her new book, Resurrecting Easter, which you can also purchase in the bookstore. Today is CAPS Sunday. You all are invited to view their artwork displayed in Taillefer Hall after the service. And our parish nurses are also going to be in Taillefer Hall, and they'll be available to answer any medical questions that you may have. If you wish to volunteer at Solzbacher tomorrow, you can see your bulletin for more information. We're also kicking, you've heard over the past few weeks that we're kicking off a new tagline, Love at the Core, and we have, you've seen some people wearing them, but we have t-shirts for sale, and it just, on the front it says Love at the Core, and on the back it says loveatthecore.org. And so what we're asking you to do is purchase a t-shirt for $5, and if you are going to OneSpark, to wear it at OneSpark, we also have little coffee, little cards that are good for one cup of coffee at Chamblin's, and we'll ask you to pass those out as well. Holy Week is next week, and in the bulletin there is a full schedule of the services that will be going on. And next Sunday is Palm Sunday. The services will stay at their normal time, but at 10 a.m. we'll meet in the diocesan parking lot to do a procession of the palms. Our Seder dinner is on Wednesday, April 16th at 6 p.m., and in order to sign up, please look for some friendly faces in the back with clipboards, or you can contact Judy Maurer to sign up. There will also be a prayer vigil on Monday, Thursday through Good Friday, from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. in Cummings Chapel. And to pick a time to pray, you can sign up on the easel that's sitting outside the kitchen entrance to Taillefer Hall. So whether you're going to physically come to the cathedral and pray, or if you're going to stay at home, we ask that you sign up for a time so that we can be awake with Christ during that time. This is also the last week to register for the parish retreat. There's more information in your bulletin, but please sign up. We'd love to have a big parish retreat. And a special Stations of the Cross for children and families will be held on Good Friday, April 18th at 10 a.m. here in the cathedral. Thank you.
What can I say? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself an offering to the living God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to the feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.